So this particular section is from the prayers by the personified Vedas, which is the biggest chapter of Krishna book. It's huge. Because Prabhupada spent a lot of time explaining. So this is part number 15 of that one chapter called Shad Darshana. There are different kinds of philosophers who have tried to understand the Supreme Source by their mental speculation. There are generally six kinds of mental speculators whose speculations are called Shad Darshana. All these philosophers are impersonalists and are known as Mayavadis. Every one of them has tried to establish his own opinion, although they all have later compromised and stated that all opinions lead to the same goal and that every opinion is therefore valid. According to the prayers of the personified Vedas, however, none of them is valid because their process of knowledge is created within the temporary material world. They have all missed the real point. Ring the bell. The real point is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Absolute Truth, can be understood only by devotional service, which is actually the message of Bhagavad Gita. At least three times, in chapter 8, in chapter 11, and chapter 18, Krishna says, if you want to know me, if you want to understand me, if you want to see me, it is only by devotional service. What is the Sanskrit word for devotional service? What is the Sanskrit word for devotional service? What is the Sanskrit word? What is the Sanskrit word? Bhakti, ring the bell. Bhakti is the Sanskrit, say that. So now you know. What is the meaning of bhakti? No. I just said service. Devotional service. So what is bhakti? What is the Sanskrit word for devotional service? Thank you. Let's continue. So here is the first class. One class of philosophers known as Mimamsakas, represented by sages such as Jaimini, have concluded that everyone should engage in pious activities or prescribed duties, and that such activities will lead one to the highest perfection. Now, Mimamsa philosophy was told by Krishna to his father Nanda Maharaj to get him to stop worshiping Indra. When Krishna was trying to get his father to stop the Indra yajna, he preached according to Mimamsa philosophy. What did Krishna say? Krishna says, Father, whether we worship Indra or not, we're going to get our rain only if we do our prescribed duties. So we shouldn't worry about Indra. We should simply do our prescribed duties as Vaishyas. So Krishna was simply trying to get his father not to worship Indra. You have a question? Who had a question? Well, the way I spell it, M-E-E-M-A-N-G-S-A. But that's my way of spelling it. Mimamsa. Because it's actually M, long I, which is pronounced E. So I write it out as M-E-E because I do things as it sounds. Okay? Let us continue. So one class of philosophers known as Mimamsakas, represented by sages such as Jaimini, have concluded that everyone should engage in pious activities or prescribed duties, and that such activities will lead one to the highest perfection. But this is contradicted in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says, Tetang bhuktva svarga lokam vishalang, shine punye martya lokam vishanti, evang trai dharmam anuprapana gatagatang kama kama labante. By pious activities, one may be elevated to the heavenly planets. But as soon as one's accumulation of pious activities is used up, one has to leave the enjoyment of a higher standard of material prosperity in the heavenly planets and immediately come down again to these lower planets, where the duration of life is very short and where the standard of material happiness is of a lower grade. The exact words used in the Bhagavad Gita are Shine punye martya lokam vishanti. You have a question? Therefore, the conclusion of the Mimamsaka philosophers that pious activities will lead one to the absolute truth is not valid. Although a pure devotee is by nature inclined to pious activities, no one can attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by pious activities alone. Pious activities may purify one of the contamination caused by ignorance and passion, but this purification is automatically attained by a devotee constantly engaged in hearing the transcendental message of Godhead in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or similar scriptures. So, tonight, have we heard Srimad Bhagavatam? So therefore, we have become purified tonight. Cleansed. Your mind and your heart and your soul has become cleansed by this class. You have a question. That verse is 9:21. 9:21. All right. Prabhupada continues. From the Bhagavad Gita we understand, Vedeshu yageshu tapaksu chaiva, daneshu yat punya phalang pradishtam, atyeti tatsarvam idang viditva, Yogi Parangstanam Upaiti Chadyam. That's Bhagavad Gita 8:28. In case you want to know. 8:28. Even a person who is not up to the standard of pious activities, but who is absolutely engaged in devotional service. What's the Sanskrit word for devotional service? What's the Sanskrit? Thank you. Who is absolutely engaged in devotional service is to be considered well situated on the path of spiritual perfection. It is also said in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Teshang satata yuktanang bhajatang priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogang tang yena mam upayanti te. That verse, 10:10, is the favorite verse of Sri Lalita. You know Sri Lalita?
Yeah.
You know Sri Lalita?
No.
You don't?
I thought we were talking about Lalita.
No, Sri Lalita. Ghosh. She lives at the temple. You don't know Sri Lalita? No. She's... Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's her favorite verse of Bhagavad Gita. A person who is engaged in devotional service with love and faith is guided from within by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord himself as Paramatma, or the spiritual master sitting within one's heart, gives the devotee exact directions by which he or she can gradually go back to Godhead. The conclusion of the Mimamsaka philosophers is not actually the truth which can lead one to real understanding. Next one, Sankhya. Similarly, there are Sankhya philosophers, metaphysicians, or materialistic scientists who study this cosmic manifestation by their invented scientific method, and who do not recognize the supreme authority of God as the creator of the cosmic manifestation. They wrongly conclude that the reactions of the material elements are the original cause of creation. When these boys go to college, that is what they will be taught. They'll be taught that. When they go to college, they're not going to be taught that God is the origin. They're going to be taught, no, in the beginning, there was a big explosion. And there was this big primordial soup. And they'll be taught so many ridiculous things. But they will have to accept it because that's what they teach in university. Then there was a big bang explosion. And then we get what we have now. Yes, sir. You learned that in high school. All right. You will. But don't buy it. Just answer the test, but don't buy it. Let's go on. The Bhagavad Gita, however, does not accept this theory. Ring the bell. It is clearly said there in chapter 9, verse 10. Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagad vipari vartate. Behind the cosmic activities is the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This fact is corroborated by the Vedic injunction sadva samyedam agra asit, which means that the origin of the creation existed before the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, the material elements cannot be the cause of material creation. Although the material elements are accepted as immediate causes, the ultimate cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. The Bhagavad Gita says, therefore, that material nature works under the direction of Krishna. The conclusion of the atheistic Sankhya philosophers is that because the effects, the phenomena of this material world are temporary or illusory, the cause is therefore also illusory. The Sankhya philosophers are in favor of voidism, but the actual fact is that the original cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that this cosmic manifestation is the temporary manifestation of his material energy. When this temporary manifestation is annihilated, its cause, the eternal existence of the spiritual world, continues as it is. And therefore, the spiritual world is called Sanatan Dham, the eternal abode. The conclusion of the Sankhya philosophers is therefore invalid. You want to ask a question? What are the ones listed? Okay, if I had to take a guess, I would say that Sankhya is Kapil, if I had to take a guess. Yes? All right, shall we continue? Number three, Paramanuvad. Then there are philosophers headed by Gautama and Kanad. So Prabhupada now answers your next question. So Gautama and Kanad are this Paramanuvad. They have minutely studied the cause and effect of the material elements and have ultimately come to the conclusion that atomic combination is the original cause of creation. Present materialistic scientists also follow in the footsteps of Gautama and Kanad, who propound this theory of Paramanuvad. This theory, however, cannot be supported, for the original cause of everything is not inert atoms. See, what they're saying, Paramanuvad, is that life comes from matter. Right? The atom is the smallest material principle. So they say, well, it's the atom which is the origin. This theory, however, cannot be supported, for the original cause of everything is not inert atoms. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in the Vedas, wherein it is stated, Eko Narayana Asit. Only Narayan existed before the creation. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedanta Sutra also say that the original cause is sentient and both indirectly and directly cognizant of everything within this creation. And we read that in our first Bhagavatam class. When we read the first verse, it said that Vyasadev meditates on Vasudev, who is directly and indirectly conscious of everything. That's what we learned in the first verse of Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:8, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. I am the original cause of everything. And in Bhagavad Gita 10:8, Matak Sarvang Pravartate. From me, everything comes into existence. Therefore, atoms may form the basic combinations of material existence, but these atoms are generated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the philosophy of Gautama and Kanad cannot be supported. Yes?
How do you spell that, their philosophy?
All right, Paramanuvad. Paramanuvad is spelt as follows. P-A-R-A-M, Param, and then Anu, long A, Anu, A-N-U-V, long A, D-A. So it's Paramanuvad. It's Paramanu. The atom is called Paramanu. And then Vad is philosophy. Okay? Yes. Let's go to... Yes? Yes. That's from... It says the Vedas. Where exactly? He's not giving you the reference. I think in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives the reference for that line. If we had... When you get the folio, these are the kinds of things I will teach you how to look up. You're very welcome. I am the best. All right, number four. Brahmavad. Similarly, impersonalists headed by Ashtavakra and later by Shankaracharya. So Ashtavakra is in our list, right? So impersonalists headed by Ashtavakra and later by Shankaracharya accept the impersonal Brahman effulgence as the cause of everything. According to their theory, the material manifestation is temporary and unreal, whereas the impersonal Brahman effulgence is reality. But this theory cannot be supported either, because the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 14:27, Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vyayasya cha shasvatasya cha dharmasya sukasya kanti kasya cha. The Brahman effulgence rests on Krishna's personality. And you may remember, I've said many, many times, not to be spiritually dyslexic. You remember that? To see things backwards. So the Brahman comes from Krishna, not that Krishna comes from Brahman, which you will see many Indian people say. They are spiritually dyslexic. It is also confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita. The Brahman effulgence is the personal bodily rays of Krishna. As such, impersonal Brahman cannot be the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. The original cause is the all-perfect, sentient personality of Godhead, Govinda. The most dangerous theory of the impersonalist is that when God comes as an incarnation, he accepts a material body created by the three modes of material nature. This Mayavad theory has been condemned by Lord Chaitanya as most offensive. He has said that anyone who accepts the transcendental body of the personality of Godhead to be made of material nature commits the greatest offense at the lotus feet of Vishnu. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita also states, chapter 9, verse 11, Avajananti mang mudha manushing tanum asritam parang bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshram. When the personality of Godhead descends in a human form, only fools and rascals deride him. This actually occurred when Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, and Lord Chaitanya moved within human society as human beings. The personified Vedas condemn the impersonal conception as a gross misrepresentation. In the Brahma Sanghita, the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Ananda Chinmaya Ras. The Supreme Personality of Godhead possesses a spiritual body, not a material body. He can enjoy anything through any part of his body, and therefore he is omnipotent. The limbs of a material body can perform only a particular function. For example, the hands can hold but cannot see or hear. But because the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is made of Ananda Chinmaya Ras and is thus Sachidananda Vigraha, he can enjoy anything and do everything with any of his limbs. Yes, sir. Sat Chit Ananda, eternal knowledge bliss. This body is not eternal. You know right now, your body is not blissful, right? And you know the body is not full of knowledge because you have to go to school. And you have to ask so many questions. So this body is different. But a spiritual body, not just Krishna, anyone who has a spiritual body is full of knowledge, eternal, and bliss. That is the soul's inherent position. When you become self-realized, you will regain your eternal knowledge and blissful normal condition. Shall we continue? Acceptance of the spiritual body of the Lord as material is dictated by the tendency to make the Supreme Personality of Godhead equal to the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul has a material body, therefore, if God also has a material body, then the impersonalistic theory that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities are one and the same can be very easily propagated. Factually, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes, he exhibits a non-material body, and thus there is no difference between his childish body when he is lying on the lap of his mother Yashoda and his so-called grown-up body fighting with the demons. For instance, when Krishna killed Putana, how old was he? Not even, he was like a month old. So the one-month-old baby could kill a demon. And when Krishna was later on, he was killing demons. So it didn't matter what the body was. As a baby, he could kill. His body had no limitations. Yes? Yes, but when he comes to earth, that is different. Yes, in the spiritual world, the eternal form of Govinda is that of a 16, 25-year-old boy. But when he comes down to earth, he displays a baby form, a boyhood form, the Damodar form, like that. Yes? Yes, but not the same way. The Damodar Leela does not take place in Goloka Vrindavan. Only on earth. Only on earth. But the relationships are still there. So there are pastimes which only take place on earth. Okay? All the five rasas are there. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and especially Madhurya. They're all there in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world.
It's just that some of the pastimes.
The pastimes are different. The pastimes are different. In the spiritual world, every night is a rasa dance. Every night. Every day, Krishna goes out and plays with the cowherd boys and takes care of the cows. Yes? Yes. Shall we go on? He exhibits a non-material body, and therefore there is no difference between his childish body when he is lying on the lap of his mother Yashoda and his so-called grown-up body fighting with the demons. In his childhood body, he also fought with demons such as Putana, Trinavarta, and Agasura, with strength equal to that with which he fought in his youth against demons like Dantavakra and Shishupal. In material life, as soon as a conditioned soul changes the body, he or she forgets everything of one's past body. But from the Bhagavad Gita, we understand. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni Me Vyatitani Janmani Tavacharjuna. How do you know this? Excellent. Ring the bell. Tanya hung veda sarvani natvang veda parandava. Because Krishna has a Satchidananda body, he did not forget instructing the sun god about the Bhagavad Gita millions of years ago. The Lord is therefore known as Purushottama because he is transcendental to both material and spiritual existence. He is the cause of all causes means that he is the supreme cause of the spiritual world and of the material world as well. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is omnipotent and omniscient. Therefore, because a material body can be neither omnipotent nor omniscient, the Lord's body is surely not material. The Mayavad theory that the personality of Godhead comes within this material world with a material body cannot be supported by any means. It may be concluded that all the theories of the materialistic philosophers are generated from temporary illusory existence, like the conclusions in a dream. Such conclusions certainly cannot lead us to the absolute truth. The absolute truth can be realized only through devotional service. Ah! The absolute truth can be realized only through devotional service, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Only by devotional service can one understand me. All right, so that's as far as Prabhupada speaks on this. When we get your folio, you will then, I will teach you how to do a search, and you can answer this question more thoroughly. Fair enough? All right, that's it. It's 8:09. Yes, we had a long class today. Haribol.